And we're back. Another episode here. Obviously, it's a new episode if you're here. But this week's episode is with a guy who was a couple of years ahead of me in school. His name is Connor Stone. And Connor, I really, really enjoyed this conversation. It was a great, he gave a great insight into, dealing with anxiety and dealing with depression. And, a lot of people can go through that and kind of just let it control them. But not Connor. He's, he's becoming qualified in teaching mindfulness, and he talks about all the different types of therapy and stuff that he's tried, and it gave me an insight into the different things that are out there that I didn't even know. So you can follow his journey. It is called a mental health journey .com, and he talks about everything in relationship with alcohol, social media. He did a podcast recently about social media that I took a lot from. It's only about 25 minutes long, and it was really, really good. So I recommend that you go and listen to that, and the podcast as well. It's called The Mental Health Journey. So do go and give that a listen. Along with that, Him Barbershop, the video that I showed you at the very start, are still doing a giveaway for me. It will be there until the end of February, 29th February. Free haircut and a gift set. All you got to do is throw a comment in. I've been getting my haircut there for like 5 years now. I wouldn't go anywhere else now. I feel like a lot of people have that with their barbers. It's like you're loyal to your barber. So, do go and get a haircut. You might cheat on your own barber once, but it's free. So, enter the competition. It's an Instagram giveaway. So hit that up. Also, on my own website, theinsidetrail.com. There's a couple of things up there. All the old podcasts, new podcasts, everything is all centralized there now. There's also a couple of written spews. There's the California video that I made during the summer. And then there's also a section called Real Men Talk. I started the Real Men Talk project to kind of destigmatize how young men, middle-aged men, supposedly don't have feelings and supposedly don't go through struggles. So there's 8 or 9 posts up there from lads and middle-aged men, my age men, one even younger than me as well, who they just talk about the things that they dealt with and how they dealt with them. And I feel like if someone else reads that, it might just open up them to dealing with their struggle. And it just needs to, I think it can help. And a couple of people have said that they read it and said, oh, look, like that's similar to what I'm going through, and I took a lot from that. So if you'd like to write one for me, please do for a format and that kind of thing. Just read the ones up there. There's kind of, you have your own creative, you're in charge completely of what it says in the format. So but read a couple of the old ones and see if you'd like to get involved. If you do, theinsidetrail@gmail.com. Just bang over the email there. It's completely anonymous as well, just because I'm the only one who'll know. But I promise I won't break confidentiality. So then, the flow tank. I've been doing sensory deprivation / flow tanks for a couple of months now, and I find it unbelievably helpful with kind of dealing with my own thoughts. And it gets me away from my phone. It gets me away from me thinking about what I have to do next. And it's just you know, you're in solidarity on your own and you're just thinking. It's great for introspective thought. I find it great for, you know, just questioning myself and the things I do and just making sure that I'm keeping myself in check. So if that's something that you think you'd be interested in, do try it. The lads over in Float Malahide have given me a 15% off code. So it's InsideTrail15. Use that at the checkout and you will get 15% off your float tank. I really recommend that you try it, even if you only do it once. I think it's a cool experience, and if you're like me, you might actually end up loving it and wanting to do it. You know, I'm trying to do it fortnightly now, but you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it again this week, but you know, it is really good. But that's essentially it. Float tanks, him, website, have a look at them all. But aside from that, listen to this podcast. Connor is a smashing dude. What he's doing is fantastic. I think it's great for young men and young girls as well. Obviously, I know I talk a lot about men's mental health, but obviously girls have the same. So I think girls can take a lot from it as well. I know my viewership isn't, there aren't that many females, but I hope that regardless of your sex, you can take something from this podcast. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast. Chat soon. Ba-dum-bam-bam. Is the Inside Trail.
There you go.
Connor, cheers.
Cheers, my man. This is decaf, isn't it?
Mm.
Good man.
Never. I actually was walking over this. I actually haven't seen this monster in about 8 months to a year. I don't know what to do with it. It's actually my favourite one. But
what flavour is it?
Citrus. Like citrus lemon. Like tops. Like.
Monster, if you're listening,
yeah,
get this man.
Sponsor me eventually, yeah. Like, I suppose you just have to keep going at it and they'll come eventually.
Yeah, that's how it works, yeah.
So, Connor, how are you?
I'm good, man, yeah, I'm good. I am just off a weekend with the girlfriend there. She's back to Ireland now after missing her flight last night, but I've recovered and, back in the exporting game here in
Israel. Yeah, absolutely. It's Monday morning, things are flying, but you've made time for us.
Of course I have, yeah. Afternoon. On my lunch break, can I just say,
So I suppose the best way for us to do it is to just jump straight in. So the main reason that I was like, you know, I have to have Connor on is I was seeing the stuff that you were doing and putting out there. So you started this, a mental health journey. So how did that come about? Like, when did you decide that you were like, right, I'm going to put something out?
Yeah, so I suppose, as you know from reading the blog and listening to the podcast, I've been dealing with my own journey with mental health, anxiety, depression, panic attacks since summer of 2017. And it probably took me a while to get comfortable with it myself, where I didn't know what the hell was going on because I'd never thought that I experienced those things before. And after a while of getting comfortable with it, you know, I started counselling and I started talking to friends and family. I still was holding back from talking to general people in my life, like people on my course, that type of thing. And I found I'd be in college and I'd go counselling usually every Tuesday or Wednesday during my week, just in a place out by UCD. And whenever anyone asked, like, oh, where are you going? Because I'd be slipping off after lunch or something like that. I'd always be, because I'm always injured, so I was a believable excuse. Yeah. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to physio. And they'd be like, oh yeah, that's grand. And then every time I said it, I'd feel just this pang of guilt.
Yeah.
After, I'd be like, why can't I just say that? Oh, I'm going counselling, that's grand.
Yeah.
So there was nearly like a selfish thing in some ways where by putting this stuff out there, everyone knew, so no one would ask. If I was like, I'm going counselling, Dan, you'd be like, oh, well, that's because he has anxiety and depression, so that's why he's going.
Yeah.
Whereas my discomfort with it initially was probably that, oh, if I say it, there'll be a follow-up question like, oh, what's wrong with you? And then I'll make them awkward by going into this big thing. So it was really that kind of, by putting it out there, it looks like I'm really comfortable with it, but it's nearly like a catalyst to getting more comfortable with it.
Saves you the later kind of hard conversation or explanation, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. And I meant like people could come up to me and ask follow-on questions, because I think talking about the roots of it and like the starting up of it can be difficult, but talking about like here in the present moment, how you're doing now is a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I meant people could probably skip a little bit ahead of my journey. And then like, that's kind of how it started. I'd put up a few posts on my own personal social media. And then I hit a time, like I was doing all the, you know, meditation, mindfulness, counseling, everything. And then there was a point last year where, because I'd moved over to London in September and I was just like flat out working, was thinking, oh, I'm fine. I stopped doing counseling and stuff. And then I just got too busy and I had a bad patch of depression for, probably wouldn't last 2.5 months, but when I first picked up and I was like, oh shit, man, I need to do something here. And so I started a CBT course with the NHS and I started doing all this reflection writing as part of it, journaling. And then there was a few where I was like, actually, if I put this a certain way, there's a little bit of a lesson here. So I was doing the writing anyway, and I was like, actually, you know what? I'm going to put it into a blog, because I'm always the type of person who needs to have the, like, a co-curricular activity above work. So I was like, the best way I can save myself for myself is to make my co-curricular activity me.
Yeah.
So I started doing the reflections and putting it into a way that people might be able to take some lessons from my experience and, you know, improve their own journeys with mental health. So that's really how it came about.
Yeah. So can you explain, just one of the things you mentioned there was the CBT?
Yeah.
CBT. So how does that work for people who aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, sure. So cognitive behavioral therapy is, like, there's two types of therapy that I do, and one is psychotherapy, which is like your stereotypical, like, talking to a counselor, going in, talking about your past to make sense of what's happening in the present moment. Whereas CBT doesn't need as much probably reflection into what happened in the past and why you're like this. It pretty much accepts that, okay, Dan, you have anxiety or depression. Not saying you do, but you have anxiety or depression. What can you do about it? And it teaches like really simple in the moment techniques that you can use to just bring yourself into a more kind of stable thinking pattern. So for me, with my anxiety, I would have these like, especially when I was tired or really busy, I just have these like spiraling thoughts where my brain would never shut the fuck up. And like, even it could be songs playing in my head, and then it could be worrying about songs playing in my head when they weren't playing in my head, and like all this, you know, random crazy stuff. And CBT was just a way to take a step back from that. So say the techniques I do are journaling. So I do cognitive journaling. So every night I do kind of a reflection of my day, and I say, how did I get on today? I tried to put things in perspective. If I thought I had a bad day, I'd go, well, fair enough, man. You've been working really hard the last few weeks. You didn't have much time off. You're out drinking this night or that type of thing, and just rationalize it.
Yeah.
And then I try and take a few deep breaths after and be like, okay, that's fair enough. I'm okay now. And that helps me to improve a bit, or to maybe be a little bit easier with myself.
Yeah.
Another thing I do is the worry tree, or worry time. So worry time is essentially, for worried people who worry a lot, it takes up your day. So you're supposed to be working on a project or organizing an event or whatever it might be, and but you can't get this thought out of your head about, geez, does this person not like me? Are they angry at me? Blah blah blah. So what you do is you set a worry time. So for me, it was always kind of like 7 o'clock or whatever.
Okay.
So not too close before going to bed in case it upset me, but also in the evening time when I've done my day. And what I do is I write down, because I take note of them during the day, I'd be like, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. And then I'd go back to them at that time. And then first question you ask yourself is, am I still worried about this? And if you're not, you just throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
There's actually a good app where you can flick the paper in the bin, you can scroll up
and stick
in the
bin. Yeah,
it's called worry time, if anyone's listening.
Okay, worry time.
And then if it is still a worry for you, sorry, I have a cough. But if it is still a worry for you, what you do is, you work it out in worry tree. So you go, I am worried about work. And then you go, okay, explain the statement. And you go, I'm worried about work because I am a perfectionist and I have an event coming up. There's a lot of pressure on me to succeed and I'm not sure if it'll work out. And not that this relates to me, I know I have an event coming up, but that's not it. It's just the first thing that came to my mind. And then you go, okay, well, how is that making me feel? It's like, oh, I'm feeling like tightness in my chest. I'm feeling like sweaty. I, you know, have headaches, whatever it might be. And then you ask yourself, okay, well, is there anything you can do about this? And then if it's no, if it's completely irrational, then you have to just throw it out. And then if there is something you do about it, you ask, can I do something about it right now? Because sometimes your worries are in the middle of the night. Yeah. It's like, oh, I have to pay my bill. It's like, oh, well, I can't do it. I can't do it right now. It's 2 a.m. So then you go, okay, when can I do it? And then you set aside time to do it and work on it. And then you throw it out. So every time you throw it out, you do like a breathing exercise to just bring yourself back down to earth. And eventually through this, I found that I just stopped worrying a lot. So my worry time would go from 10 things to 3 things. Now I don't really do it that much anymore. I kind of just do it sporadically.
Yeah.
But they're the kind of two main techniques that I use. So like the cognitive journaling and then the worry time.
Okay.
And there's a lot of like simple breathing exercises and meditation and stuff like that as well as part of it.
Yeah, so I saw that you had posted something about the breathing exercise, but you're doing you did a mindfulness course.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Did you just decide that you wanted to kind of further your understanding or?
Yeah, so I have been doing a lot of mindfulness and meditation just as part of my journey to feel better myself. Yeah. I just found it really interesting. And then when I started doing the blog, and especially when I started to do the podcast as well, I just wanted to come from a perspective of someone who's trained in what they're doing. Mm. So the whole point of the blog and podcast is that I'm talking about my own experiences. So I'm not saying I'm an expert on mental health, but I'm an expert on my own mental health. Mm. And if what people want to pull from what I write or say is up to them. But I did want to get a little bit more educated on it, especially because I want to do something with my experiences.
Yeah.
So I just looked up how to become a mindfulness teacher. I found the British and Irish Institute of Mindfulness, and they do these online courses. So what I did was I did this. You have to do an 8-week mindfulness-based stress reduction course, and that goes through all the basics of mindfulness, the science behind it, and then gives you like weekly homework of what you need to do in terms of, you know, are you doing a body scan this week and you have a like reflection work, or is there like a day-to-day mindfulness thing you can do, like being mindful, brushing your teeth or whatever it might be. Do this for 8 weeks and you have to do assignments every week and stuff. And then when you pass that, if you pass that, you can do some of the higher level courses. So the next course I did, and I finished it last week, was teaching mindfulness to 12 to 18 year olds, adolescents.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason I chose this one was because I came with an idea for implementing mindfulness into schools in Ireland, and I thought that the only way to really get listened to would be if I had a qualification behind it.
Yeah.
So that's how that came about, really.
Yeah, and so is there a particular like way that you would like to implement it? Like obviously 12 to 18 is school pretty much. Like did you find that, like, I know you said that you kind of felt that it was only like 2017 when you had kind of started your own kind of mental health journey, but when you look back on it, do you think that there was more of it in school that you hadn't registered, or?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think like I was always a nervous person.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I probably didn't want to be a nervous person. So towards the end of school, people wouldn't have seen me that way. Like you probably would have seen me when I was in sixth year and like was kind of loud with my presentations and speeches and stuff like that. But that wasn't a natural thing for me. And there were things in school like that, grievances that happened for me that I didn't deal with properly in school because I just didn't know how. So like my parents separated when I was in fourth year and I didn't tell anyone about it for a year. Yeah. Like my friends would come over to my house. My dad traveled a lot with work. So I would used to say something. They'd be like, oh, where's your dad? And I'd be like, oh, he's working or whatever. And I got away with that for a year somehow. I'm sure they're asking questions, but like I obviously didn't seem open enough to ask me. And funny enough, the following year, like the year of the separation, was like my most successful academic year. I made the Dublin team in hurling and I became the VDP president and a school officer all at the same time. And you can see that, like, you know, from the outside, everyone's like, oh, he's nailing it. But that was really just suppression and trying to stay busy to avoid that. And that's stuff that, had I been taught about mental health, maybe I would have been able to identify was what I should have been doing. Mm. And I think the nice thing about mindfulness is that if we're about in school and you have issues in your family, I have issues in my family, your teacher can't be an expert on what's going on with you and what you should do and then what's going on with me and what I should do. But they can be an expert on a tool that we can both use to feel better. And the nice thing about mindfulness is that irrespective of what the cause is or what the issue is, you can feel better just by doing some simple breathing exercises. Yeah. So that's with my idea for the government, and I proposed it to the Minister for Mental Health there about 3 weeks ago now. And what it is that each secondary school in Ireland would have someone do the same training that I did. So it's all online.
Yeah.
So anyone from rural communities can do it.
Yeah.
People from local community, urban areas can do it. And what it would be is that they would be the mindfulness implementator in their school. And then the initial campaign is called the Mindful Minute, where you do, there is a breathing technique called 5-2-5, okay, where you just breathe in for 5 seconds, hold for two, and breathe out for five. And then if you repeat that five times, then that's a minute.
Yeah.
So the idea would be to do that at the start of every day and at the end of every day.
Okay.
And the reason I want everyone to be trained is because kids are going to have questions.
Yeah.
So they want, some of them are more inquisitive than others, so they want to understand the science part, and some of them will just breathe and be happy with that. And also, when you do the training, you get to learn little like techniques and games and illustrations to help them understand. And the way I compared it was like when we were in school, the way you had to you had to pray in class.
Yeah.
And like I worked it out that we used to pray for nearly 10 hours a year in school, just standing up and praying in class. And I was like, the Most High.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what if we were able to do that with breathing? What if like you did 10 hours of mindfulness every year in school? How much of an impact would that make with kids and schools? And that's just the starting point. And then because each school would have someone trained in mindfulness, they can come up with their own campaigns off the back of it, and it doesn't have to be centrally organized anymore.
Yeah.
But I think to start, it needs to be centrally organized. So that's just what I think. I just wish I could have learned some of what I know now then.
Yeah, definitely. I do feel like that school is definitely a bit of a weird time for a lot of people, and like small tools like that can definitely go a long way. The only thing, it could be hard to implement in some, I know if someone came into me, in an all boys school, and they're just telling me to breathe, I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it can be hard, but I suppose that's the difficulty to implement.
Yeah, exactly. That's the challenge, and I think eventually, and you probably get this more with primary schools, because primary schools, there's a certain amount of being like scared of the teacher and stuff, and just doing like blind leadership kind of thing, and eventually I would love for it to be implemented in primary schools, because there's another course to do for 6 to 12 year olds, which I'm hoping to do before the summer. And what that would mean is it's just that it's more expensive, because there's about 3,000 primary schools, there's only 723 secondary schools in Ireland, so just cost wise it makes a lot more sense to start in secondary school.
Yeah.
But if you're able to start in primary school, and this was like something that was the same as PE or drama or whatever, or art, and it's just normal, they just know, we do our mindful breathing at the start of every day, and we do mindfulness. I think that's where you start.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be challenges, teachers struggle to teach history and religion and geography and stuff as well, so it's just the same as anything.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to be a PE teacher, so
I think as a teacher you'll have to just find your way of implementing it, and the same as anything else, if you want them to clean something up, they're not going to want to clean it up, but there's ways of going about it. So one of the other things that I wanted to chat to you about was you recently did a podcast about social media.
Yeah.
So I was listening to your podcast, and I was kind of thinking, I did a lot of that as well, and I was kind of and I actually was thinking, a lot of people, especially lads, definitely were thinking, I definitely have been in that boat as well. And then since listening to it, I remember I put up an Instagram the other day, and I was just like, why am I checking my why am I checking how many? And then I was like thinking about everything that you had said in that podcast, and I was like, I'm not going to do that, because it just makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
So to jump into the show, how did you, you don't really use Instagram or anything like that anymore, do you?
No,
so
not really.
How did that all, did you just decide one day that you were like, no, you know what, I need to
It was like a dry January thing. So, I was big into, you probably know, I was big into my Instagram for a while, and it was last January, and I was like, I'm going off drink for the month, and I was like, actually, you know what, I'll go off Facebook and Instagram as well. So I went off it, and the withdrawal symptoms at the start were bad, you know what I mean? I was taking out my phone, and then I had nothing to click into. So I'd be scrolling through Sky News articles and I was like, why am I becoming this like intellectual now? This is me. And then February came and I didn't re-download the app, but I found I was flicking onto like Safari going into Instagram. And I was looking at people's stories and I was kind of like, I was just clicking into them so that they disappear. I just hate notifications. Yeah. I like them to disappear.
I'm like that as well.
So I click into them, I'd be like, you know, oh, Dan's doing that. And I was like, I feel like if I missed this story, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah.
Like, so then I was thinking I might do a bit of a purge of my followers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't want to offend anyone. Yeah, I don't want to, and also track of doing that.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, actually, I'm just going to delete my account and just didn't really think too much about it. I was like, I'm going to delete my account because for me, I knew I'd go back to the way I was if I had access to it. Yeah. So I was like, I'm getting rid of it. And then I got rid of the Facebook app. But like, I didn't really use Facebook as much anyway. Like, everyone's using Instagram instead of Facebook.
Facebook
kind of died. RIP. And so I just did that. And the reason I did it was because I think it's just a dangerous place for someone with an anxious mind to be on. Like, I know a lot of people, when you say that, they think, oh, because people are so good looking on it and you feel bad about it, which for some people is the case. For me, it was more just like you mentioned there, like overanalyzing performance and basing off this photo I took in the caption and then working out, oh, was that because I put it up at 7 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock? More people go on at 9 o'clock. Maybe I should do that next time.
Yeah.
I was like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? And I'd be looking at his liked my pictures, and then I compare it to, I'd be like, they liked my last five pictures, they didn't like this one. Fuck, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Even though they might not have seen, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Or, like, it doesn't even matter, it's just a click of a button. And then the same with, you know, I think when you're doing long distance, like at the start, there's probably a bit of insecurity there, a lot more solid now. But I'd be looking at my girlfriend's photos as well and being like, who's this prick like in the picture? You know what I mean? And it's just really irrational stuff that, like, because I knew when I was on Instagram, I'd flick through and just click it without even thinking.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, like, grand, like, I accidentally like that, but I'll leave it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I'd be overanalyzing it, being like, what the
Why did he like
what
that?
What are they doing here? What's their game plan?
Yeah.
And then I was like, that is feeding something that is not good for someone with my type of mindset. Mm. And I just needed to get rid of it. So, for the social media, for the blog and podcast, I get my little brother to a lot of it, and then I just send him a picture and like a caption, he does his thing, and then I try to use like those like page management apps rather than have the actual app, so I don't click into my own stuff. I just so when people, there's probably no point in following me on social media now because it's just my blog, like,
I have to get the blog, So sorry, right now you don't have any access to any of the social platforms, really.
For me, I have access to the LinkedIn and the Facebook.
So your screen time is dramatically down then, is it?
Oh yeah. Now I do listen to a lot of podcasts, so obviously that puts it in. But in terms of social media use, I'd say it's probably cut down by 4/5 or something like that.
And you miss it? Like, do you ever think, oh, I'd love to?
No, not really. Like, there's a good peace of mind with it, you know what I mean? I just feel I like the little bit of mystery as well. Obviously there isn't much mystery when I put everything onto a platform and say I'm feeling and stuff, but it's a mystery to be like, I'm living over here, I contact my good mates, I talk to my good mates all the time, I don't really need to have my wings open to 1,000 or 2,000 friends anymore. You know, I'm happy to just have my maybe like 15-20 good mates that know me really well, know everything about me, and then the rest can be a mystery. And then if you get into my good friend group, then you'll get to know that as well. You know what I mean? And I'm happy enough with it.
Absolutely.
Because, geez, the amount of time I used to spend just flicking through.
I go to phase where I have to just get the apps off my phone. Like, if I'm, you know, studying or I'm doing something, I'm like, because like you just open it and you're like, and then half an hour goes by and you're like, what? I didn't learn anything.
Do you ever find when, like, for me, it's whenever you're bored or you're a little bit restless, it's, you have to have it in your hand, you have to go through it.
Well, what I even find is like, I sometimes spend so much time on, and then I give out to myself by not having time to do other things.
Yeah.
And we spent 3 hours on Instagram today. Like, So like
talking about expense,
and it just goes down into a book, especially like if you're not public transport, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just such an easy thing to pass the time.
Yeah.
And then you know you spend all that time. Then when you're actually supposed to be doing something else, you're like, better check my phone. Like, I know you had one post where you're like, I get up, check my phone, do this, check my phone. And I was like, it's so accurate though. Like,
yeah.
Like how many times do you pull out and go, oh, I need to reply to that, you know? Yeah.
Brezzy actually does in his first podcast. Where's My Mind, he does a really good audio version of pretty much what I wrote at the start there. And it's not great if you're listening and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to listen to Brezzy and I'll feel nice and relaxed listening to it, because it's like the iPhone alarm starts going and it's wrapping around the audio and stuff and it's just madness. So maybe listen to it when you're in a relaxed mood anyway or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. It's just the way it is. Like, as in, that's just what we do. So now I try to, like, I cycle into work now instead. I used to get the tube and be on the phone and stuff, but I cycle into work and I try to, like, mindful walking and stuff to get the bike, and then when I get off the bike as well, because mindful walking is pretty much like you just do a body scan as you're walking, so you just feel, okay, how do my feet feel when I'm walking, how do my ankles feel, how do my knees feel, how do my quads feel. So that's where injuries actually come in handy, because you can feel everything.
Yeah, yeah, class. There you
go.
Fair. So you've put 2 podcasts out now. Have you a plan to another one soon?
Yeah. So the plan is, so we've this year so far I've done alcohol, then social media. I'm going to be doing one on alternative therapy soon, because I talked about therapy before, but I've done stuff like hypnotherapy, transformational breathwork, craniosacral therapy.
Hypnotherapy, all these mad stuff. How does that work? Is that like being hypnotized into unfine?
It sounds more intense than it is.
Yeah.
A lot of people actually use it to quit smoking.
Okay.
So for any smokers, it's a good one to try. Yeah. Essentially what it is, you go into a deep meditative state, and beforehand, they establish with you what fingers mean what answers. So generally from it was like, yes is this finger, no is this finger, and they put me into this like deep meditation, and the first one was they asked me yes and no questions, and they were like, okay, does your anxiety and depression come from an event in your past, stressful event? And mine was like no. It's like, does it come from something where you blame yourself when it's not your fault? It's like yes. And then all this stuff. And then the next, so we had kind of like a little pathway of what it looked like, what the situation looked like. And then we did this regression curve where she came, again, deep meditative state. I like would be out of it, wouldn't even realize my fingers going up and down. And she would count through all of the ages of my life. And I was supposed to raise my finger when it was something of significance. And it raised when I was 15, when I was 9, and when I was 4. And I was like, I know what the 15 is because that's when my parents separated, but I was like, tier 1, I have no clue what the 9 before is. So I called my mum. My mum's a psychotherapist, so like she doesn't get weirded out by any of this stuff. She does that. And I was like, to mum, what happened when I was 9 and when I was 4? And she was like, firstly, you're a very anxious child. You had like a stutter and stuff when you're younger. And apparently when I was 4, I started school. So I was like her like little like wrapped around her leg type of thing from when I was 1 till 4. And then I was put into school like 2 months after my 4th birthday. And my teachers couldn't understand me because I had a little stutter and stuff.
Yeah,
it was class. Yeah, so it was very cute. She said that was really distressing for me.
Yeah.
And that was like quite a significant moment. Yeah. And then the next thing was, I think people who are kind of have anxious tendencies like their home comforts.
Yeah.
And I loved my home, and then we moved house when I was 9, and it just broke me out. Like, new area, new house, they talked about changing school. I was like, there's not a chance of changing school. And that was another significant moment. And then what we kind of worked out was, because one of the questions the first day was like, do you know the reason why you're like this? And my subconscious said no. And kind of what we thought up was, I was like, anxiety and depression runs in my family, so I obviously had tendencies for it in my DNA. And then I grew these home comforts, and then there was 3 big distressful moments like early on in my life and my development where I suddenly wasn't allowed to stay at home anymore. Had to go to school, distressing. Then my home gets taken away from me, which is my comfort place. My room was my comfort place, and it's gone. And then suddenly my family, which is my comfort place, is gone.
Mm.
Not that it's gone, you know, I have a great relationship with my family and stuff, but it's changed dramatically. And I didn't know what that would look like when it happened. I just baited it all down. So the stuff that happened later in my life, the panic attacks, the like finishing sport, that type of thing, were significant, but they were kind of a result of the kind of mechanics of my body that were created over the course of those 15 years. So it was interesting. It's really interesting experience.
It definitely is. It's that they've kind of tried and, you know, tested all of them, or at least close.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few more ones dry, like, but
yeah. What other kind of like therapy things are you would you like to try in the future?
Yeah. So there's this one called Havening, which is kind of like now it sounds mad, but I heard a podcast on it with Caroline Forn. Does great anxiety podcast, and Havening is kind of like hypnotherapy where you go into this deep state and then they make you remember, but it's like, so we did the regression with you and you might be like, oh, something bad happened when I was 15. They go back to this time and they make you remember it and you start panicking and stuff nearly.
Yeah.
And what they do is they do these like light touches that releases these like relaxing chemicals in your brain that helps to remove that connection between that time and being in distress.
Yeah.
And you can remove that from being distressed in the future. Like, say if it happened in a cinema and you can never go into a cinema again, suddenly there's like a relaxing pattern to go into the cinema again. Now, she seems to get good benefit out of it. Like, I'm always skeptical with these things. I never see them as a solution. I just see them as part of a journey, you know what I mean? So none of them have cured me, but they've helped me to shape a picture, and something relax me, like acupuncture, cranial psychotherapy, or just like chill out.
Well, it seems like that, like you've at least got the right attitude to get a like a hold on everything. That's because you know I feel like a lot of other people can be afraid to try and control their mental health, and it's a lot more daunting. But it seems like that you're doing well anyway, and that you're. What you're learning is also helping other people now with a podcast and your mindfulness learning. I think it would like credit to you for, you know, one, sorting your own self out, but then also, you know, it's hard to put your own experiences out there and say, look, this is what I went through, if it helps you, I hope it does. But you know, it does take balls, so credits is just appreciate what I would like to say. So we're going to go into a few random cues now. I'll put these glasses on. Okay, so
this is the bit where I'm actually anxious about there.
Well, these random questions won't really test your knowledge. It's the trivia that'll get you afterwards. Okay. So what book do you wish could be turned into a movie?
Ooh, Henry Sheffin's autobiography.
Oh yeah.
There's not enough Ireland films out
there. Okay, fair. What's something that you really resent paying for?
Ooh, Dublin bus.
Yeah.
£3, man. London is 150.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like, yeah, it's a joke.
What's the in comparison? What are the two biggest differences between London and Dublin, aside from?
Is that actually down on the
no,
thing?
No, that's
it is just okay. Probably not everything is in the centre. You know, in Dublin, it's like lads will meet up in town.
Yeah.
Whereas here, you have your borough and you stay there, and you don't go to the centre that much. So I live in Battersea, so Clapham Battersea is fairly self-sustaining.
Yeah.
To stay there. Then I suppose the second thing is probably, and this has probably changed in Dublin a little bit, but the busyness, like London's just so, you'll probably notice when you're here, like everyone's in a rush the whole time. You know, if you fidget when you're getting your Leap card, or sorry, Oyster card, I'm still a dub, you can see.
Yeah.
When you get your Oyster card out, then there'll be a lad breathing down your neck in a suit being like, get out of the way.
Jesus.
So I'd say they're the probably biggest deal. And also it's just huge. Like,
yeah, it's
10
it's not, that's
people.
What we were just saying. Like, it feels like when you go one place, it's like, where are we?
Yeah.
It's like, it's like Dublin is like three main streets.
Yeah.
More or less. Here, like
London's twice the population of Ireland. You know what I mean? So
huge.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Okay, so what are some red flags that you watch out for in your daily life?
Red flags is if I'm going too much, like if I'm nonstop doing stuff and I don't take time to kind of reflect on it. So I try to identify that now, and I take like little breathing breaks during my day. So that's one. Another one would be, for me, headaches. If I start getting headaches, I know that I'm doing too much and I need to chill out, and I'll take a step back and kind of reassess what I'm doing at the moment and what I have planned. So for me, it's that kind of like non-stop doing and then headaches.
What current trend do you hope will go on for a long time?
Is Davin still? No, I'm missing. I think I do like this whole sustainability trend. I work in the with plastic companies here, well, packaging companies, and we're working on some sustainability, so yeah, there could be some good business down the line.
Yeah, I hope that does keep going. Okay, so what skill would you like to master that you haven't already?
Skill. I'd love to be able to do, so I can do a headstand in yoga, but I'd love to be able to do just a full on handstand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that's a thing, like, but
it's very freeing being able to just, yeah, but it is like the thing about handstands, like, you have so many failed handstands. I'm always taking photos of myself doing handstands, but like, I do like 10 or 11 beforehand that I'm just falling flat on my face. Like,
I know, yeah. It's a tough place to try. I've hit myself off a few doors and stuff in my day. I also love to surf, actually.
I've only ever been surfing once, and it's just like, I'm terrible at it now, but I'd love to again learn.
Yeah, I've nearly drowned a couple of times, but it was worth it. To catch one wave, it's a good feeling.
Absolutely. Right, so your life hack. Have you got a life hack lined up for me?
So, listeners, what I want you to do is, next time you're getting a bowl of soup, okay? Everyone, you know the way you get your towel, your hand towel, and you get it and it burns you, or you spill some soup on you?
Yeah.
Use the bowl within a bowl. Get a bowl, put your soup bowl in it after it's heated up, and then you can carry it and use that bowl, and now heat gets through to it. So your hands are free.
Yeah. You don't have a lot of bowls. Yeah.
I have a lot of bowls. Yeah. We've done a big crockery drive there recently. Glad to find it.
It's all right. So we'll just do we're not video for the trivia, but it'll be quick anyway. Okay, so the car manufacturer Peugeot is based in what country?
Oh, hey, cars. Peugeot, based in, I'll say Germany.
France.
That's what I meant.
What is
we're not in the EU anymore.
What does the L in Samuel L. Jackson stand for?
Lawrence.
Leroy.
Okay.
What is the most northerly county in Ireland?
Northerly county in Ireland. I'm trying to see the shape of it here. Is it Antrim?
Donegal.
Ah, bollocks, I knew it's gone bad. I'm easy at home, listen to
the I did one yesterday, and poor Ben only got one, so, you know, it all depends on what questions you get.
Yeah, I get the other ones right when I listen, so.
Okay, who became the first man to free solo Il Capitan in Yosemite Park in 2017? Have you seen Free Solo? Oh, man, it's okay, you'll get this question wrong, but it's a fantastic movie. Or documentary.
Was it you?
Yeah, it wasn't me, unfortunately. I would not have the balls to do that without anything. It's Alex Hanold is his name.
Okay.
Who succeeded Steve Jobs as the chief executive of Apple?
Tim Cook.
Nice, spot on. He's in. Okay, so complete the proverb, no man is a...
Island?
Yes.
Is it an island?
And island. Excuse my dyslexia there.
It's not okay.
The atmosphere on the planet Mars is predominantly composed of which substance?
Atmosphere, planet Mars. We can go up there, can't we? So,
I don't think we can breathe the air up there, though.
Is it sulfur?
No, I give you another guess at this.
Is it something we have down here?
Yeah.
Is it oxygen?
No.
Carbon dioxide.
Yeah, carbon dioxide. I'll give you a 0.5 for that.
Give me 0.333.
Okay, I'll take that 0.333.
I didn't do science in any stage.
No,
junior search.
It's been a while though.
It was good.
Okay, so which English football team won the Premier League in both 96 and
97? Arsenal.
United.
No, oh fuck, sorry. Yeah.
Are you a United fan?
I am, yeah. Jesus Christ.
The disappointment.
That's shocking, actually.
What shape of valley typically denotes glacial activity? Think back to your geography now.
So there's the V shape, and then there's the U shape valley.
Yeah, is the one I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So what is that? What kind of activity is that? You're answering me. Yeah, you.
I was like, you, glacial?
Yeah, oh, God.
I've done some mind
Yeah, you've confused me. Okay, that's 3.323 so far. You've won more.
4.323, that's what I wanted when I came into this.
The 2019 Cricket World Cup was won by which country?
England.
England, spot on. So that's a decent score, considering that you got the first four wrong. It was a good second.
I like to finish strong, Jan.
Yeah,
see, that's, I wanted to kind of mirror my journey with mental health.
A few bad years and a few good years.
Absolutely. Well, look, it's been a great chat. Look,
As always, would
100%, and I wish you the best and everything that you're, and I hope that you keep doing your mindfulness courses. And
thank you.
You know, it sounds like that you're going to try and do something with it as well, which I think is great. But yeah, and also for everyone listening, your podcast, I really enjoyed it. So if you haven't listened to it already, do go, and it's called A Mental Health Journey.
.com.
And I'm sure that you'll be putting another one out soon.
I will indeed, in February. And also, Dan, thank you for having me on. I'm a big fan of the show, so. And 4.33,
yeah.
I'm all calm in my head, held
class.
At normal height.
Class. Well, bam, bam, bam.